WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court upholding the law banning TikTok's app in the U.S. That ban expected to take effect Sunday unless the China-owned company sells.
The justices explain at length how a law like this one meets a significant government interest of protecting the United States' national security for a number of concerns over Chinese collection of Americans' data and also their use, alleged use of the platform to spread propaganda in the United States.
ABC's Devin Dwyer. For the first time in 40 years, the inauguration ceremonies will be moved indoors. Temperatures in Washington, D.C. Monday are expected to dip into the 20s with wind chills in the teens. President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance will be sworn in inside the Capitol Rotunda. Ohio's governor announcing moments ago that the state's lieutenant governor, John Husted, will fill the vacated Senate seat for Vance. And fire crews continue to battle wildfires in Southern California. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. On Thursday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments over the Republican-controlled Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules' efforts to block a ban on conversion therapy in the state. The lawsuit questions whether the committee's rejection of the Department of Safety and Professional Services ban was beyond the scope of their power. The eventual ruling will also impact blocks by the committee on various other state regulations implemented by Governor Tony Evers. The ruling could take months to be announced. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is encouraging homeowners and schools to test their properties for radon this month in honor of National Radon Action Month. Radon is one of the leading causes of lung cancer in non-smokers and is a naturally occurring, colorless, and odorless gas. Health officials estimate 1 in 10 homes in the state have radon levels above EPA standards. DHS officials are also reminding residents that their local radon information center may be offering reduced-cost test kits throughout January. A nationwide arrest warrant has been issued for an Exelon man allegedly involved in a standoff with law enforcement officers in Sawyer County. 42-year-old Jason Arnold was scheduled to appear in court earlier this week to answer the charges against him, which include recklessly endangering safety, reckless use of a firearm, and failure to comply with the officer's attempts to take him into custody. During the October 3rd incident on North Elm Park Drive in Exelon, Arnold allegedly fired more than 20 rifle shots at two armored law enforcement vehicles. The fifth annual Sink the Kiwanis Can contest is officially underway in Rice Lake. The yearly contest features an 8-foot metal can off the shore near the Moose Lodge and asks residents to choose when the can will sink into the water. A number of cameras with clocks have been placed around the area to make sure residents can see exactly when the oversized can sinks. Entries for the contest must be submitted by March 15th, and the three closest guesses will win a cash prize. The winners will be announced a few days after the sinking. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Is Jordan Love the one? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers GM Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference and was asked after 2 years, does he think that quarterback Jordan Love will someday lead the team to a Super Bowl?
I've talked many times about how even-keeled he is, and I think, you know, his growth, I mean, the way he manages our football team has been pretty impressive.
The Packers have fired defensive line coach Jason Rebovich, the D-line criticized for a lack of quarterback sacks. Baseball tributes to Bob Uecker, who died after a two-year battle with lung cancer. Uecker loved talking to players in the clubhouse. I asked Christian Yelich if he could trust Uecker to keep those chats private.
Well, I think he was always on the player's side. You know, I think he always had our back no matter what, and he was always pretty passionate about that. I think he would tell you that on a daily basis, whether you're going through a hard time or not, or whatever was going on the field. And, you know, you got the true version of Bob where he could let his guard down.
That's the Brewers Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A rather warm winter day today with high temperatures reaching the mid-30s and cloudy skies. But those winds are breezy, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, and a cold front pushes through this afternoon. Few spotty snow showers could spark up from it, and temperatures will be plummeting. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, "Oh my God, how did you guys get through it?"
I mean, things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Well, we will be pursuing truth, truth and beauty, beauty, truth, but Todd's not here. It is the Todd Allbar Show, but I'm a substitute teacher along with Angela Lang here today. Don't shoot rubber bands at us now. We're going to try to keep this on the even keel. Delighted to be with you, our listeners. You can join our conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Got a real treat for everybody this half hour because we're joined now by Wisconsin's newest poet laureate. Her name is Brenda Cardenas. She also was the poet laureate of Milwaukee back in 2010. She taught English for many years at UWM. Her latest book is out. It's called Trace, and it's really fantastic. I just read it yesterday. It was the winner of the 2024 Society of Midland Authors Poetry Award. So, poet laureate Cardenas, welcome to the Todd Allbar Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. What was it like to get chosen as Wisconsin's State Poet Laureate? Were you surprised? Were you shocked?
Yes, I was surprised. I was surprised because I know that is a competitive process. You know, one applies and we have so many wonderful poets in the state of Wisconsin. A lot of people don't realize how rich it is in poetry. So I was pleasantly surprised. And it's kind of a perfect time for me to do this as I just retired from teaching in May of 2024. So I have the time, right, to really put into it.
Oh, well, congratulations on your retirement, too, and double congratulations on this great honor. What goals do you have for yourself as Poet Laureate? What do you see yourself doing?
Well, the Poet Laureate, and when you apply, you have to put forth or suggest a project. So I see myself doing that project, which I can describe in a moment, but also really just being an ambassador for poetry in our state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, crisscrossing the state, going to different regions when I'm invited, and even myself, you know, sending out communications to different regions and saying, "Hey, would you like to have me visit and do X, Y, or Z?" So that I can help people to just appreciate poetry, both the reading and the writing of it, mm-hmm. and to not see it as something so frightening or that meaning is so fixed as sometimes we are unfortunately taught when we're children, that, you know, this line has to mean this, you know, but rather that there can be multiple interpretations, and also that, you know, to you know, to help people to, you know, wherever they're starting from in their craft, whether they see themselves as professional poets or are publishing, well, then to encourage them and work with them and perhaps collaborate with them. And if they're beginners and they've never tried this before, to help them dabble and to learn that, you know, you can do it, right? It's not that hard.
You know, I think you're putting your finger on something that I've thought about too, and that is just the way poetry is taught or was taught when I was growing up. It was taught either in a stuffy way, that poetry was really stuffy and old, and or in a kind of obtuse way, that there, you know, you really had to study poetry forever to be able even to understand this one poem, even if it was an easy poem like a Robert Frost poem, much less something more complicated. And then, you know, and then they throw, you know, some starchy old ones in there, and it was just hard to grab onto when you're a young person. And I think that deterred a lot of people, or intimidated a lot of people, from enjoying what's there on offer from poetry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always like to say that, you know, as poets, we're both artists, visual artists, and musicians, right? Mm. Because we are not every poet and not every style of poetry, but for the most part, we're painting with words. Many poets are striving to create an image, you know, with words on the page, so that when you come to it as a reader, you can see it in your mind's eye, right? Mm. So we're painting with words, and we're also very conscious of the musicality of language, right? The internal music of the language. And so, you know, we use all these sound devices that maybe we know the terms for, but, you know, a reader doesn't have to know that, right? I'm thinking of things like, you know, alliteration and assonance and internal rhyme, right? The reader doesn't have to know that that's what that is, but they will hear the music. They will hear the cadences and the rhythms, right, as they're reading the poem or they're hearing the poem being read.
Yeah, all the reader has to know is that the reader likes it, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
And then the reader can go back for more. I mean, that's exactly what's so nice about it. Yeah. And I know I saw Ada Limón, the U.S. Poet Laureate, who spoke in Madison over the last year, and she was just trying to make it easy on the. She asked, "Who's been to any poetry readings before?" And a few people didn't raise their hands, and she said, "Well, I'll make it easy for you. I'm just going to read 6 poems or something like that." So she didn't. So people didn't think, "Oh, this is going to go on forever." Of course, after she read 6 poems, she said, "Actually, I'm going to read a few more." So that was kind of fun, and she was terrific. But tell us about your project that you outlined in your application. You mentioned that before.
Yeah. Well, I've always had a love for the visual arts. I had an uncle who was a visual artist. I have a brother who was a visual artist. And then there were just a lot of people in my family who would never call themselves artists, but who were what we might call artisans. And they would do things like make really beautiful, fine furniture. Or, you know, I had a cousin who rode rodeo, and he made tooled all the leather, the saddles, the chaps, and did all that beautiful leather tooling, right? And, you know, I think, and for whatever other reason, I've always loved the visual arts and have done collaborations with visual artists. And so I decided to set up a project where I will have a website. It's not built yet, but in the process. And I will go to different regions, major regions of the state, and do workshops on what's called ekphrastic poetry, which is really just poetry that's written in response to, or I like to say in conversation with, or in correspondence with visual art. It's inspired by visual art. And so I will get the ball rolling by having these workshops and also having all the materials on my website, because not everybody will be able to attend a workshop. And then to start with poets, a group of poets in each major region of the state that write a poem, and then that poem is sent to a visual artist in their region who has signed up to be in the project, and the visual artist will respond in visual art, a visual art piece, and then photograph it and send that photograph to a different poet in the region who has signed up to be in the project. And that poet will, again, respond to that visual art, right? To that piece of visual art, and then send that poem on to a different visual artist. So if you think of it like the game, the old game of telephone that we had when we were kids, or a relay race, right? It'll be like a relay. But if you got to think of an octopus too, because it's going to have like, it's going to be like maybe 7-8 different regions of the state, right? That these relays will be going on in. And I'm going to, with the help of a web designer, make the website so that people who are interested, as they find out about it and want to be part of it, can sign up there, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's not only poets and artists who I happen to know. I mean, I'll start with people I know. They'll be maybe the first round, but that people who I don't know, right? And like I, people, like I say, who maybe are just beginning or dabbling in, of all ages, can also say, hey, I want to be part of this and sign up. And we will see how long the relays last in each area.
And so will there be depictions on that website of the various artistic interpretations of the poem? Or will there be a physical art exhibit, for instance, poetry art exhibit?
Well, what I definitely want to see on the website is to have the poems that are written for this project and the pieces of visual art that are created for this there. Right. Yes. Yeah. So everybody can go to the website and see it. Perhaps we will have an exhibit at some, you know, near the end of it, an exhibit where the poets who can come and read their. I'm not that far yet in the thinking, but I definitely want to see that the pieces up on the website.
You know, it's striking a bone or a chord close to home for me, because my wife and I are doing this little project, and we're she's a painter. She's taking up painting in her retirement, and I'm writing poems to her painting. So it's just and occasionally I'll do the poem first, and then she'll draw something to the poem I've written. So we're kind of.
So it sounds like you both need to be a part of this project, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, you both need to be a part of this project. Exactly, because you're doing exactly, exactly what I'm talking about. And that, you know, I got the idea because quite a while ago, there was a print exhibit in Milwaukee, and one of the curators set up this kind of thing where he asked poets to write an ekphrastic poem based on any piece of art in the world. And then those poems were turned over. I was part of that project. Mm-hmm. They were turned over to printmakers who then created prints in response to them. And then there was a big portfolio. And I thought, what if it kept going? Mm-hmm. What would happen if we kept seeing it, you know, keep going? I always wanted to do that. And so the poet laureateship was the perfect place. You know, and it's not only though, because I have an interest in visual art, but also because I think it gives folks who maybe haven't written a lot of poetry yet, but really want to, it gives them a starting place. You know, the piece of visual art becomes the trigger, so to speak, right? From which they can develop a poem, which we always hope is goes way beyond just describing the artwork, because why bother then, right? You might as well go to the art museum and look at it, but that it be, the artwork becomes a jumping off point or for the poem. And maybe the poem ends up becoming about something personal, but that artwork was what led the poet back to that.
We're speaking with Wisconsin's poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas, and we'll talk a little bit about political poetry in a minute or two, right here on the Todd Albo Show, right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Todd Alvo Show. Todd's off today. He'll be back on Monday. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang of Block, and we're delighted to have still with us for the rest of this half hour, Wisconsin's new poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas. Her latest book, by the way, is called Trace, and it's very impressive. I loved it. I read it just in the last 24 hours. But I want to get to some political poetry. Because, Brenda, I see that you are one of the editors of an anthology called Resist Much, Obey Little, Inaugural Poems to the Resistance, back in 2016 on the occasion of Donald Trump's first inauguration. How weird and strange and horrifying is it for you to see that he's going to be inaugurated in just a few days?
Yeah, it's... I'm you know, obviously not happy about that. We will survive, right? I hope. We have to survive it, and we have to, you know, work to make sure that some of what I see as some of the most horrifying things that I have heard proposed, you know, do not happen.
And one of those is mass deportation. I mean, I saw at the Republican National Convention, as I'm sure our listeners did, you know, all the signs about, you know, mass deportation now, greatest mass deportation in U.S. history. You've written a lot about the immigrant experience and borders and walls. I mean, how do you deal with this threat?
Well, I mean, first of all, when you just think of it practically, what a massive undertaking that would be. It's so crazy that it doesn't seem even that possible, right? Sure. But first of all, you know, it's extremely inhumane because, you know, many people who come here because they're fleeing. People don't just choose to up and leave their homes because it, you know, what a jolly thing to do, right? That is, you know, very, very rare, right? Maybe American expats going somewhere else, right? But that's very rare. People are leaving their homes because they're under threat oftentimes, threat of violence, political violence, or other kinds of violence, there's, you know, a lot of climate migration. There's just such climate disaster that it's impossible to, you know, might be what they call economic migration, but it's economic migration because you can't survive anymore where you are, right? And so it's really inhumane, but also it's very impractical. You know, people have been so horrified by the prices of things, right? And I think that was a big part of the reason that Trump won the election was people so worried about the price of milk and the price of eggs. Well, what do you think you're going to pay for a head of lettuce if you deport all of the people who are picking that lettuce?
Sure.
What do you think you're going to pay? I mean, good luck having any salad or any fresh vegetables or any, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're actually really going to deport all the, and, you know, I mean, even the farmers who are running these giant, you know, agri-corps need those workers, right? So it's interesting because a lot of, I think, farmers who voted for Trump and you know, knowing this policy are people who really need the workers. So it's ironic. But I think a lot of them think that he's really not going to deport all these people. So, and not him, it's the whole government, but sure. You know, I find it, you know, outrageous, especially too when you think of how many good things immigrants from all over the world really have brought to this country. And when you think of, you know, the appreciation that often immigrants have, right? I taught for a while at Wright College in Chicago on the Northwest side. And our students, we had immigrants from all over the world. We had many from Eastern Europe who were fleeing all the wars and things in Eastern Europe, as well as having a lot of, you know, Latinos in that school. And, you know, I mean, those students worked so hard, right? I never had students in my life that worked as hard as those first generation immigrant students. So there's a lot of richness brought here that, I mean, really, if you were to take away everything that immigrants have given to this country, we would be at a loss.
Mm-hmm. Poet laureate Brenda Cardenas, we only have about 2 minutes left. Can you read one of your poems in 2 minutes? Maybe Against Insularity, I don't know.
That's the one that stood out to me, actually. I thought it was very beautiful.
Okay. All right. Against Insularity. Let us push air into our splenetic bubbles until they contain brimming worlds we can plunge into. Blood orange skies tinged with lavender beyond the horizon we've never traversed, across the line we've never transgressed. Time to purge our stampeding litanies, pistol-whipped plans sutured to impossible futures, manacled to metal desks and manicured lawns. Be with me, a forest of deciduous trees, lizard-wrinkled, century of rings rising to silver-streaked clouds. All our granular wreckage, our tin pan scraps, are bursting with viridian timpani. Light the cosmic fire. Feed it with lungs the size of ship's bellows. Spark celestial candles. They will cluster into amethyst constellations like the lilacs we were born to be.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I love that so much.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Thank you.
That's Wisconsin's poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas. Spark celestial candles. That's terrific. Thanks so much for being our guest on the Todd Alvall Show. And we'll be right back with Brittany Merlot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be hosting a series of career fairs across the state over the next few weeks. According to a press release, residents who attend the career fairs will be able to ask DNR officials questions about the career field and learn how to apply online when postings become available. The first event will be held in Eau Claire on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., with more events in Oshkosh, Milwaukee, Fitchburg, and Woodruff in the following weeks. More information on the fairs is available on the DNR website. As the legislature's Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee continues to hold $50 million allocated for mandating reading changes in schools, officials say the money could end up added to Wisconsin's budget surplus. Act 20, the law mandating the change in how students are taught to read by switching to a phonics-based model, was passed in the summer of 2023. Officials now say if the funding isn't released by June 30th, it will be put into the surplus. Some Republican lawmakers say the Department of Public Instruction can't be trusted to spend it. The Rice Lake Area School District Board of Education has voted to approve offering esports at the high school and middle school. The approval will allow students involved in the clubs to set up activity accounts and take part in competitions with teams from other schools. The teams will begin their 7-week seasons in February with practices and competitions. District officials say students will need to bring their own equipment to start, but they hope the clubs will be popular enough to allow them to supply that equipment in the future. The Washburn City Council has selected a plan for the future of Hillside Park after receiving input from community members. At their last meeting, the City Council decided to follow the plan most recommended by residents at their January 13th meeting, which will include renovating the existing tennis courts, adding a picnic pavilion, parking, and an ADA-accessible walkway, and improving the playground and basketball court. One of the other plans called for the construction of a multi-use court, which residents expressed maintenance concerns with. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. In Oh My Gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A rather warm winter day today with high temperatures reaching the mid-30s and cloudy skies. But those winds are breezy, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, and a cold front pushes through this afternoon. Few spotty snow showers could spark up from it, and temperatures will be plummeting. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on 2-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will revisit our conversation with Harvey Kay on Jimmy Carter's legacy and the two very different January 6th anniversaries. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey,
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Todd Albaugh, who will be back on Monday. And I'm joined by my co-host, Angela Lang of Block. We've been having a fun show today. I hope you've been enjoying it. We had the Wisconsin Poet Laureate on. We had the Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism, Ann Sayers, on. We've got Brittany Merlot coming right up in a second. You can join the conversation either by text or by phone, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac, and then another caller. I think we'll take these two calls and then get to you, Brittany.
All right.
Mark, hey, you're on.
Hey, hello. Yeah, thanks. It seems to me that all this talk of banning DEI language, banning DEI, banning education about climate change and saying it's just a hoax and all this, I hear echoes of the old South and the banning of abolitionist literature. And maybe I'm being hyperbolic in that, but I just see echoes of that they don't want people to talk about these things anymore. They don't want to make people even think. I mean, that's the whole, you know, they don't want people to, we can't talk about critical race theory. What is that other than like the ban on abolitionist literature in the antebellum South?
Thanks, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it.
Good point.
Yeah, I think Mark makes a good point. And also, it also reminds me of Soviet Russia, where, you know, they're doing Soviet-style science that has nothing to do with real science. So you just never know with these guys, seriously. And what I'm worried about is this idea about patriotic education, that Trump is demanding that we return to patriotic educate. What does that mean? No Howard Zinn in the high schools and colleges? You know, you can't have any critical analysis of what U.S. history has been. You'd get the rewriting of slavery like they've done down in Texas. You know, it's just that's I think the direction that we're headed in here. And Mark raises a good point on that. I want to bring in Brittany Merlot, the civic media meteorologist. How are you doing, Brittany?
I'm doing pretty good, riding the warm wave. How are you?
Good. What's with this? It was 46, 48 degrees when I was driving in today.
I know. Temperatures are hitting 50 degrees right now along the southern state line, Kenosha at 50. I mean, and then we're going to drop to wind chills of about negative 40. It's crazy to think about the big flip we're going through.
90 degrees.
The weather whiplash.
Yes, yeah. That's what I've been calling it.
Now, are we breaking records right now with the heat today?
Oh, good question. I haven't looked that far, but I'm probably not. We usually get, you know, some little random warm snaps throughout, but, you know, not really a big swing like we're about to go through. Mm. Going from 50 all the way to temperatures not climbing above zero within about 48 hours.
And how dangerous is that wind chill going to be?
Oh, very, very brutal and very dangerous. I mean, we're going to be feeling anywhere from 20 below throughout the daytime to near 40 below into places, and especially northern Wisconsin, with those winds, because they're not going to quit. They're going to be gusting up to 30 miles per hour. And that is just going to take, here's what's happening, right? We've got a warm kind of like layer around us, right? An aura, in a sense. We've got this warmth, and you try to lock it in, but when the wind blows, it takes it away from you. So that's what the wind chill is. That's why it's making it feel so much colder, because your body usually has this warmth around it, and now it won't with those winds. So pretty, pretty brutal. You can get frostbite within about 10 minutes in these conditions. So layer up, bundle up, cover all exposed skin, all of that jazz. But it's going to be a long one. That's another thing. You know, we've been getting used to these little brief cold snaps. This one's going to be deep and long. It's not going to get any warmer and above zero until Wednesday.
And if you're out driving too, you should make sure you have extra blankets in the car in case, you know, your car doesn't start after you get to your destination.
And check on your neighbors too. You know, check on the elderly, check on the neighbors. You know, I think all the time we always see, unfortunately, you know, someone's heat went out, or, you know, an unhoused person unfortunately froze to death. So like, this is the time. This is what we're talking about. It's that bitter temperature where we got to check on people and make sure that folks are warm.
Absolutely. And don't forget about your pets too. If you're cold, they're cold too. I know sometimes you think, oh, they got all this fuzz and fur and they're just fine. No.
And also, you know, I'm a crazy bird watcher, which is redundant. if you've been feeding birds at your bird feeder, don't stop now. They really need the food over the next 5 days. And here's a tip. if you're feeding suet, which I do in the cages, you get this, you know, suet cake you put in a cage, you hang up, the woodpeckers come to the cage. Keep doing that, but also take another bit of the suet and chop it up into little bits and throw it on the ground, because a lot of birds don't come to the cage, but they need the fat. So if you throw it on the ground, you'll get cardinals and nuthatches and woodpeckers on the ground too, but you'll also get juncos and doves and other birds that'll come on the ground. And they really need that fat and that protein first thing in the morning, or, you know, because they've had a cold night, just like the rest of us are having. And it wouldn't kill you to throw bird seed on the ground also during this terrible cold spell. And if you're worried about rodents in the suet, there is a solution to that. I have suet that is full of hot pepper. You can get these suet cakes that are full of hot pepper, because squirrels, mammals don't like pepper, hot pepper that much. So the squirrels will not eat this pink suet that's just full of cayenne pepper. So it might cost a little more, might cost a dollar more a cake if you're going to the bird store or the Farm and Fleet, but I highly recommend it. I've had no problem with squirrels ever since I've gone to the spicy suet. Who would have thought? So anyway, that's kind of a tip. Yeah, learn things every day. Brittany, I wanted to get you on because I saw you posted on the Civic Media website earlier this week something about snowy owls. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, gosh, I love owls. They're so majestic to me. And the snowy owl is probably my favorite for sure, because, I mean, they live way up in the Arctic. They travel throughout Canada and they come down to Wisconsin, too. But we don't see as many as we're seeing this year. In fact, this year is double than what we've seen the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So about 80 sightings so far throughout the state. And I've heard of reports actually of one of them crashing into someone's window into the Green Bay area. Isn't that crazy? So these guys are, the DNR is saying this, what we're seeing here in the state is younger owls. They're less skilled, less wary, and they're kind of showing up in random places. So what we need to do is look at them from afar, but of course give them their space. Don't intrude and interrupt them, but they're here.
Oh, it's such a cool owl. I mean, this is the Harry Potter owl. This is the white owl.
Yeah.
Yep. places that I've seen them before, I haven't seen them this year. In Milwaukee, near the ferry terminal south of downtown. If you go there and drive right up to the fence, sometimes don't go past the fence. Don't go run after them around the fence. You got to leave the owls alone, but you can park your car at that fence and look through. I've seen them on top of the building in there and also on the ground. They'll sit on the ground. I've also seen them at Goose Pond in Southern Columbia County. There evidently has been a snowy owl in New Glarus. Go down to New Glarus, get a beer, and look for the snowy owl. And also Green Bay along the lakeshore is a good place to see them too. And then just inland from Green Bay in Freedom, Wisconsin, which is a great name, Freedom, Wisconsin, they've had a lot of snowy owls historically there. And then look on telephone poles along rural roads. Sometimes they're there. Sometimes they're on the farmers' buildings, too. So it's quite a sight to see. I'd never seen a snowy owl in my life before I'd come to Wisconsin. I'd been bird watching for 20 years. So it's just it's an awesome sight. But as Brittany said, you got to use your manners here, because these young birds, the reason they're down here is they couldn't find enough food up north. And if you're harassing them, if you're getting real close to them, they're not going to be able to find the mouse or the vole that they're looking for, and they're going to starve to death. And so, you know, bird watchers and nature photographers sometimes are at loggerheads, because the nature photographer wants to get real close and get the great picture. And bird watchers, we want other people to be able to see the bird. So if you're the photographer running into the field, we hate you. I hate to say it. We do not like you disturbing that bird, because you're gonna hurt the bird, and you're gonna hurt the rest of us who are trying to go see that bird. So keep your distance. Don't feed the bird. Don't throw mice out. Like, there were people throwing mice out at a great gray owl that was in Madison when we had an invasion of great gray owls from Canada before. So anyway, treat the owls with respect. Enjoy them. They're really a neat bird. One year there was an owl on John Nolan Drive here in Madison, a snowy owl. I never saw it. We drove down, my wife and I, 10 times to see the owl on John Nolan Drive, but it wasn't there. And another winter there was an owl on top of a downtown building here in Madison. So we do get them here in Dane County. it's been seen, as Brittany says, 80 of them all over the state. So keep your eyes out, especially when you're driving the rural roads or you're on the lakefront. So it's just a cool owl. It's one of the cool birds that there is here in Wisconsin. Other birds you like, Brittany?
Oh, I love the bald eagle. Definitely.
You know, I saw one right over my house in southern Dane County the other day.
Oh, nice.
And then one day when I was just driving on Highway MM, just south of Madison, Rimrock Road, also called, there was two bald eagles, male bald, fully adult male eagles. Beautiful, beautiful. We just got a text from Mark from the SAC years ago at the Brule River State Forest. He saw a great gray owl fly right past him. That's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's an amazing bird.
The Brule. That's where I see a ton of bald eagles. If you take that Highway 53 from Eau Claire up towards Superior, oh my gosh, you're guaranteed to see at least a couple of them.
Yeah, so, you know, in winter...
Reminder to keep your eyes peeled when you're driving,
And also look for hawks, not only the red-tailed hawk that is so common in Wisconsin, but a Canadian hawk called a rough-legged hawk has come down into Wisconsin, typically does in the winter. It's slightly bigger than a red-tailed hawk, which is a big hawk itself, and it's got splotches of black on its belly, which is one way to identify it. It's really cool. Hawk, rough-legged hawk. I don't know why that name came in, but there you have it. They're all looking for food. So again, keep your distance, enjoy the birds. Brittany, tell us what we have in store. We got cold weather through Wednesday, and then we're going to get a little warm up.
Yes. So we are going to be falling sub-zero overnight tonight for a good chunk of the state. And by tomorrow, the entire state is going to be feeling below zero. Our temperatures will hit the single digits to teens, but those winds are going to be feisty. Then our actual temperatures do fall. We fall double digits below zero into the northern part of the state, single digits below zero in the southern part, and the winds keep going. So wind chills anywhere from 20 to 40 below throughout the evenings and even into the daytime. Some of those places are going to stay brutal cold. So bundle up, stay warm, hunker down. I don't think I'm going to do anything this weekend, to be honest with you. I don't even want my car out in that, testing the battery. I hope it turns over. I don't want to, no.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. I was supposed to go somewhere on Sunday. I'm not sure I'm going to. But, you know, this used to be called winter in Wisconsin. You know, we've been lucky. We haven't had, well, depending on how you look at it, it's crazy, the global effect of global warming. But, you know, it's a cold front coming. You know, when I got here 40 years ago, we lived in Southern Columbia County in our first house. There were 70 inches of snow, and winter went from November 15th to about April 1st. And we'd always get, you know, 5 days of this bitter cold where the temperature never came above zero. So it's just kind of a reminder. And if
the Wisconsin strong, we got this.
Yeah, we can handle it. You know, the inauguration, they're going inside in Washington, D.C. because it's just going to be mid-20s.
When I looked it up, I was like... Oh, I expected what we were expecting. I thought it was the same thing. And I looked it up and I said, oh, okay. They're not from Wisconsin, clearly.
No, no, they can't do cold over there. They can't do snow either. I was there for 2.5 years after college. And if there's 1 inch or 2 inches of snow on the ground in Washington, D.C., it shut the whole town down. It's just crazy. Yeah. They don't have the Wisconsin spirit over there in Washington, D.C. So anyway, well, I'm glad anyway that the weather might be ruining Trump's huge event there. So that's just good karma anyhow. But Brittany Merlot, thanks for being on here on the Todd Alba Show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great hearing. I always love hearing
your
weather forecast and the way you use good writing to convey powerful images. As an old editor, you know, I look for that.
I appreciate that.
yeah, that's kind of cool. They're lucky to have you. So we'll be right back here on the Todd Alba Show. You can call 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. We have one caller on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Izervay
or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you here for the last little stretch here of the Todd Albaugh Show. Todd's off today. He'll be back on Monday. It's been so much fun sitting in here for Todd with Angela Lang of Block. We've had a fun time talking with the poet laureate of the state of Wisconsin, Brenda Cardenas, with the tourism secretary, Ann Sayers. And then Civic Media's own, Brittany Merlot. It was always fun talking with her. And you can join the conversation yourself, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, call or text. And we've got Joe on the line. I always look forward to hearing from Joe when I'm driving around listening to Civic Media. She always has good questions and points to make. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I'm on to suet. You were talking about suet earlier on. And birds, and I just, you know, I'm crazy for birds, and I think that so many people in the state are, because it is such a rich place with the Mississippi Flyway and the, you know, the flyway in Lake Michigan. It's just a fantastic place for birds. I had never heard, Matt, of this idea, excuse me for being out of the loop here, of adding the red peppers, the some sort of red peppers, so you have sort of a pink suet block, if you will, and you had said that the squirrels will not go for that because mammals don't like that. They taste the pepper and they don't like it. Birds are not affected by it. And then you had said that you can actually take those suet blocks, if you will, and break them into chunks and throw them on the ground. Man, those are great tips. Thank you so much. I had, you know, been kind of shy about using the suet blocks and putting feet on the ground, but man, I'm going to go out and get some of those before the cold hits. And I wanted to ask you, as a birder, if you have ever done anything with these built-in cameras into the bird feeders. They call them Bird Buddy or whatever they are, so you can get you can see these close-ups of birds and get a better assessment of what's going through your yard and track them that way. Have you had any experience with that at all? Do you like those?
I haven't tried it, but some friends were showing it to me. You have a bird feeder and then that bird feeder will relay the photo of the bird to your phone, show you the bird that's there and identify the bird for you that is feeding at your bird feeder. So that's pretty cool. You can get that at some bird stores too. But yeah, back to the suet, red pepper suet. It's also sometimes called super suet. You can get it at, okay, I think, Farm at Fleet or Wild Birds Unlimited, okay, and other bird feed stores. And yes, chop it up. I actually dice about a quarter of one of these suet cakes every morning, especially when it's cold, when it's below, when it's zero or below, and throw it on the ground. And they're very happy to see it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the tip. Appreciate it so much. I'll just, there's going to be some chubby little birds in my backyard. Thank you so much.
Well, they'll thank you. That's
we love that.
That's the tip of the day.
Yep, there you go.
Great.
Cayenne red pepper suet. You won't be feeding the squirrels, because before I was losing half my suet cake to the squirrels.
Sure.
And the money, too. I didn't want to be wasting money, and I didn't want to be just feeding these fat squirrels, though, you know, all God's children got to eat, as I say, but still.
I mean, squirrels eat all sorts of stuff, though, too. They don't need to eat your birds, you know?
Yeah, they're doing fine. Unless
got other options.
Unless one of the hawks get one. I saw a red-tailed hawk come get a squirrel once. That was kind of rewarding.
But, oh, wow. Instant karma, I guess.
Nature's harsh. And then on the flip side, it's painful for a lot of us bird watchers to see Cooper's hawks or sharp-shinned hawks come and get birds off the feeder or off the ground where you're feeding them. These are hawks that feast on backyard birds. They love the backyard birds. So it's tough out there. You know,
yeah,
nature can be cruel.
Survival. Like a metaphor for something. I don't know what, but something.
You can draw a lot of metaphors there. But if you've been feeding the birds a lot and the birds have been there all the time and all of a sudden you don't see birds, usually there's a hawk in the area. Or another tip is if you've filled your bird feeders and no birds have come to those feeders in several days, either there's a resident hawk or you need to clean out your bird feeder. Because the bird seed has gone bad, and the birds can detect that, and so they won't come to your feeder, even though there's seed in it, because the seed has gone bad. So you should really clean your bird feeders, every couple of weeks, every month anyway, and make sure to wash your hands. There is this bird flu going around. I read something that you probably can't get it from the songbirds or the little birds that are at your feeder, but I'm either wearing gloves or washing my hands every time I go put bird seed into those bird feeders. Because you want to make sure you don't catch anything. But I think you're safe right now keep feeding the birds, and especially this next week with the sub-zero weather. Make sure you throw seed on the ground. Make sure you got suet out there. Chop it up into little pieces so the little birds can get at it. And also another reason to throw it on the ground is birds are bullies. You know, there'll be a big woodpecker on the suet cake, and the little woodpeckers can't get there until the big woodpecker's stuffed his face. And same thing, you know, the blue jays will try to hog the food too. So throw it out there so that there's plenty of food for everybody, especially in the mornings when they're just waking up and they're freezing to death and they need that protein. So what do you got on your mind? Anything fun for the weekend, Angela?
It's cold. I think I'm just going to stay at home and just watch a bunch of like TV shows and random movies. I was in a Disney kick the other day. I watched the original Lion King. I watched Hercules. So I'm just going to keep doing more of that and staying warm. But I just think the show was great. And I feel like a constant line throughout the show was like, explore Wisconsin, take care of yourself. And, you know, there's so many different things to do. So even in the winter, I find myself hibernating. But, with Secretary Sayers there, I'm like, okay, yep, I need to do more outside. And there's a lot of cool things to do in my neighborhood, in my city, and in the state, too. So I'll be thinking about some of that stuff when it's warmer, though, because I hate the cold.
I hear you. We got a couple textures. I have a block of suet out. We keep frozen. We grate it. Grating the suet. Oh. I love that. Corn cakes out. Someone says walnuts. And someone says, be careful, Niger seed feeders, they go bad. Niger feed goes bad. So those are some of your bird watching tips. Yeah. Anyhow, thanks so much, Angela, for co-hosting with me. Sam, thanks so much for handling everything. Thanks to the callers and the texters. Thanks to Tourism Secretary Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate Brenda Cardenas, and Civic Media's own Brittany Merlot. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn. And your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jumesko, and Bar Band Friday Nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court upheld the law to ban TikTok if the China-owned parent company ByteDance does not sell by the Sunday deadline. Justices unanimously agreed the security risk to Americans' data is greater than First Amendment arguments. 20-year-old TikTok user Jean Feliz reacting to the decision.
Everybody's being watched. We use the phones every day. We sign up for everything. We use the emails for everything. We sign up for everything. So we're being observed 24/7. Like, it doesn't make any sense to us.
President-elect Trump is considering what executive actions he may have available to keep TikTok app alive, according to sources familiar with the matter. Monday's inauguration will be moved indoors due to the severe cold expected in Washington, D.C. Temperatures will dip into the 20s. Wind chills will be in the teens. Israel's government meeting to take a final vote on the Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal. Earlier, the Israeli Security Cabinet approved the framework. This is ABC News.